Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4!
Hey, let's go! Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So good to be with you and so good to be at Bankwest Stadium. We're in under an hour. The Rabbitohs and the Titans will go at it. And Nathan Brown is with us. Emma Lawrence is here. Ryan Girdler is having a little lie down. He'll be back in about half an hour. But the great man himself steps into the breach. I'm, of course, speaking about Mr. Peter Sterling. Sterling, good day.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, very well.
I'm going great. I'm gruntled.
I'm
the exact opposite of, aren't I?
Exactly. When were you ever gruntled? What have you made of walking into the stadium where last night, I think it was the first time that we're 5-0 for the Parramatta Eels. 1986 was the time they went 5-0, went through grand final.
Let's stop talking.
You love those.
Let's stop talking about the 80s. Let's forget all that. Let's talk about Parramatta in 5 weeks' time after we get through Roosters, Canberra, Newcastle, Manly, and I think maybe the Cowboys in there. But look, great start. And what obviously getting away to a good start takes pressure off the back end of the season, where, you know, you don't get into that mathematical equation of having to win so many games. They've set themselves up nicely now. I thought last night was their best win of the season, basically for the situation that they were in, the quality of the opposition on the night, and the way they got out of trouble. So, look, it was a really good performance. I think it might take a little bit out of them. So that's, you know, it'll be tough to back up that kind of game next week. But I love the patience in the game. I love the fact that they're prepared to win in the 80th minute. I love the fact that we went in last night as the best defensive team statistically in the competition. And if you only concede 10 points against good sides each week, you're going to have a good year. So it's all positive, and you know, it's a pretty healthy squad at the moment.
Is this a time you want to face the Roosters and the Raiders coming up after two really tight games? Does that take too much out of you, or is this when you think you're on a roll so you want to face the best side?
Yeah, look, I don't think it makes too much difference, Em. I think, you know, they'll be happy. It's just all about preparation now, and you know, Brad's pretty well versed on what it takes to have his side up and ready to go next week. I like the fact that we've got a really strong run coming up because, you know, it can affirm what we've done. They've obviously had a great off season, and despite the fact we've had the break, they obviously came through that really well. You know, the break for us with a guy like Reid Marnie actually coming back in the lineup is huge. You know, he's been so good for us in an area that we are skinny in. So it's kind of helped us in some ways, but I'm excited by what's to come. I'm not getting carried away with things. I want to stop talking about the golden time of the 80s. Like, I want in 20 years' time our fans to be talking about Mitch Moses and Clint Gutherson and all these guys. But I understand, going back to, but this is a whole different ball game. And, I just like what I've seen so far. I think that the squad has got some depth to it as well, which you need. Because it's not always going to be as healthy as. So at the moment, we've got a smile on our face.
Dragons, man. Talking about the 50s and 60s, so I wouldn't worry about
that. But be honest, though, Sterlo, have you thought ahead?
No.
Have you pictured them in a grand final?
No.
Really?
No. Not at all.
I reckon Dylan Brown, Sterlo, I'll mention to hear your opinion. I reckon he gets another 3 years into him, he'll be one of the best players in the game.
Well, the signs are there, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, he moves so well, and the thing I like about him is, you know, he plays bigger than he is. You know, when he takes the line on, he's not getting belted. He's getting belted, but it's not obvious, you know, it doesn't buckle him type thing. And, you know, and when he and Mitch both took on the line early last night, you know, that showed that, you know, they've got plenty to offer when they've got the football in hand. But he's just building nice relationships around him as well. And most importantly, and I'd like to hear your idea too, when you've got a young player come in, Brownie, first thing I'm looking at is how he defends. You know, and Dylan Brown's excellent in that department.
I think all your good halves. I mean, we're talking about Mitchell Pearce earlier, his game last week. You know, Pearce really doesn't kick well. He kicks the ball well every week. He's prepared to take a knock, and his defense is nice and solid. If they get those three things consistently right every week, they've got a big head start on the blokes that are all over the shop.
Because you know they've got talent to back all of that up. I'll never forget Kieran Foran's first game that I saw him play. It was against Canberra. He picked up Tom Leroy Larson and put him on his backside three times and thought, well, yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah. We had Nathan Brown on earlier. Gee, he's a good footy player, isn't he?
He's mad.
Just that.
And you need Matt.
I sort of alluded to that.
And he was great. I was, and obviously, you know, the importance he has in the organisation is that Brad brought him straight back into the run-on side and had no qualms about it and said that he was in great nick. And the charge up the middle there, you know, towards the end of the game, that was kind of a telltale sign of the influence that he had. You know, he's when he came, and I think it's great coaching too, because when he came to the club, like, he was off the back fence, but there was no deception. There was no subtlety in his game whatsoever. He still comes off the back fence, but he's got a pass in him. He's got a little step on him and that as well. He's a tougher proposition now to handle than what he was as just this young firebrand who, you know, runs into brick walls, and there's only so many of those you can run into.
We did a bit of writing off of the Cowboys a little earlier, before you were on air. What about the opposition? What about the Warriors? We talked about how brave they've been. They had that great win against the Dragons, and then they went down. But that was a good performance in a game that, like, lots and lots of points, obviously, but their performance was terrific.
Yeah, they were great, and especially after what happened last week. Yeah. But it was interesting, you know, listening to their coach and their main playmakers talking about how emotionally they were better coming into this game, that maybe they didn't handle that comeback game, the aftermath of that, the way that they should have done. I heard you talk about the Cowboys earlier on. I don't think the Cowboys game has evolved for a couple of seasons now. You know, I thought that they were always in trouble this year because I just haven't seen, you know, we keep saying whatever was good enough last year won't be good enough this year. And if you're not going forward, you're actually going backwards. And I'm not quite sure how far they have moved their game on for a couple of seasons now. And as Brandy points out, they've got young players coming into key positions. So there is a transitionary period there as well. But I don't see them being a final threat towards the end of this season.
And the story that has been big all week, and it's been big all year, and we've spoken about it. I just want to quickly get your take on it. Paul McGregor, the decision by the board to call the emergency board meeting on the Tuesday and then decide that, no, they will stay with him. Were you, A, surprised by the decision? Do you have a belief whether it's right or wrong?
I was happy with the decision. You know, I just don't know what changes. You know, and again, listening to Brownie early on, he's been in situations where clubs are going through difficult times. You know, he's got a stronger voice in this than I have, but I just don't see what changes, and I can't see how you can be criticised for working hard. And, you know, some people saying that that's his problem. Yeah, if you're not working hard, then you might as well put the white flag up and walk out. So, you know, we know in this game that's all you can do. You knuckle down, you work hard, you stay together, and you look for that light at the end of the tunnel. And, the air game's a simple game. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, they talk about the inexperience of the Broncos, and they certainly have that. But whether you played one or 100 games, for a player, it's all about you just prepare the best that you possibly can. When you get onto the paddock, you work as hard as you can. You go out there to do your own job, but also be prepared to cover your mates when you need to do that as well. And eventually things will turn around because you have got that talent to back it up. So I think Paul McGregor, I hate seeing coaches leave clubs during the course of the season, certainly after four rounds. I know he's been there a while now, but I thought it was a good decision. And I understand the anger and the dismay of the Dragons fans, and without any disrespect, when you make decisions based on your fans, as we've heard before, you end up sitting up there with them.
But do you think the solution is more simple than we think? Because there are so many shows, so many different papers and publications, everyone's trying to come up with a reason as to what is going wrong at the Dragons. But is it
I have no idea, Em.
But is it just just give 100% out there and eventually it turns around?
Well, I think that's all you can do. You know, like I don't know what the situation is internally with the Dragons. I don't know what's going on over there. We look at their roster and, their back five probably doesn't put a lot of fear into opposition teams. Their forward pack is full of representative players, and that's kind of what we tend to base our, you know, they should be doing better because their roster is strong. I don't know how things are there. You know, someone's always going to be running 16th and 15th, and, there are reasons for that, but I don't have the answer. I know Paul McGregor has a greater understanding of what the answer is than I do and the critics do.
Yeah, and all this talk of the great work ethic and giving 100%. I'm a man who just likes to give 73%. Have done all my life. It's just,
when are you going to get up to that 73%?
I've never seen over 50 from you on a Saturday, Cody.
On a Saturday, yeah. Well, that's weekend. Come on.
Just kidding.
As we can see, some of the fans who are now allowed into this ground just arriving at the gates, getting their temperatures checked. There will be roughly 500 people in here at Bankwest Stadium. It's lovely to see those people re-entering the football stadium.
We've gone about it in the right fashion. I'm one of those people. I was amazed that we were back on May 28th, and I'm amazed that we're actually, you know, starting to get fans and talk about getting big crowds out there in the coming weeks.
Yep.
We've all missed it, and I'm sure that the players certainly have, but I applaud the players for the product that they've put out there without fans. You know, it's, they've just gone out there and,
yep,
and gone about their business, and I think the footy's been great.
That's been sensational. All right, next we're going to go into Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown, right here on Triple M Rocks the Footy, and it's time for this.
The Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
I've never had the privilege of being in the Coach's Corner before. Brownie, what goes on?
I'm not too sure, mate. That's why I'm sitting here next to you.
And we've got the great man Peter Sterling with us as well. Emma, is it here? What have you got up for us?
I'd like to talk about the million-dollar player, I suppose, and the ones who get heavily, heavily criticised for not earning it. So the ones of, I suppose, the past 18 months, Sean Johnson,
yep,
Ben Hunt, and Ashley Taylor.
Okay.
So... for me, all these gentlemen are reportedly on $1 million. And the responsibility that comes with being a $1 million player, and are they worth $1 million? Somebody's worth what somebody's willing to pay them, but it doesn't mean that they're worth it. And there's a big difference. If you look at Cameron Smith, you look at Cooper Cronk, for example, reportedly later in the year they're getting their $1 million. Now, they got $1 million on winning plenty of Origin series and playing and winning grand finals, where to defend Ashley Taylor and Ben Hunt, they haven't won any grand finals and haven't been the mainstays in their club teams or Origin teams. So they go to clubs on this reported money, and with that comes a huge, huge responsibility. But the better clubs or the better organised clubs seem to have the million-dollar player, a la the Roosters with Cronk or Melbourne with Smith, where they actually have people like Hunt and people like Ash Taylor, and they might be on $400,000 or $500,000, and they play far, far better footy, and throughout the course of their career they may then rise to the level they need to, where when they get put in these situations, I fear that the fan pressure, the media pressure, and even pressure from within the playing group, I think it has a real, real mental effect on all of them.
I think if you're going to sign, you know, million-dollar-plus players as well, you've got to be fairly astute at the other end. You know, to me, the salary cap is about getting value out of your players. So if you're playing that amount of money for one player, it's got to be compensated at the lower end of your scale. But, Brownie, probably the first time we'd seen a long-term contract was the Jason Taumalolo one. So when that was first mooted and signed, you know, 10 years, $1 million a year, what was your reaction to that, something like that?
10 years, I thought, whoa. I thought, yeah, that's long for a contact sport.
Yeah.
I would have thought anything beyond 5 would be, but as it's turned out, he's been quite durable, and he makes other people look really good, doesn't he? But to the length of that contract, I'll be honest, I thought that was bizarre.
Okay.
Same with Daly, Sherry Evans. And when Bowes and that got Daly, I thought, that's bizarre. But when you look at it now and they're fit and they're playing to the level they play, you think, who were the silly ones?
Might be value.
Yeah.
In terms of getting, saying that whether a player's worth $1 million or not, if you're at a club that hasn't done well for a few years, what is the draw card of a player going there? If no one's really selling that dream of, say, coming to the Titans, what else other than paying overs is going to get a player there?
I don't believe there's such thing as overs. When you're recruiting or building a football team, like apparently we paid overs for Kalen Ponga at Newcastle. It's not overs.
You fools.
Yeah, but it's not overs if that player goes to your club and he makes your organisation a lot better.
Well, potentially maybe one that hasn't proven yet what they've done, because how else do you...
It's when they go to your club and the perception is they're not living up to the tag, then the pressure comes heavy on them. And if you look at Ben Hunt, like Ashley Taylor had time out of the game last year from the mental part of it. You know, Ben Hunt runs on the field at the moment where he looks like he has got the whole world on his shoulders. But when he played at Brisbane and he played his best footy, he had Darius Boyd at fullback, who I believe helped complement what he needed. And they talk about Darius Boyd and, you know, putting combinations of plays together which help him play better. He's one of my favourite players of the past 15 years, Darius Boyd, because when he was at the Dragons, Jamie Soward played his best ever footy. And when he was at the Knights, Darius obviously wasn't the Knights for very long, but the 1 year the Knights went really good, Darius is a fullback, and Jared Mullen played his best ever footy. And there's all these halves in there that, you know, at different times will criticise for their performance, but when they played with Darius Boyd and he was at his best, Darius Boyd helped them blokes look good. And, you know, for Ash Taylor and Ben Hunt in particular, have the clubs got the balance of the people around them to help them get the best out of them? If you pay $1 million for them and it's wrong, maybe they should be on 500 and the other players should be on $1 million. Then all of a sudden these blokes will be playing brilliant.
Hey, Brandon, can I just, I don't know if someone's asked this question, so I apologise, because I was just talking to Rudy, getting him ready for his afternoon. But I just want to say, is there a lesson in all this for players and managers to make better decisions around? So if you're Ben Hunt and it's, you know, someone throws $1.2 million supposedly at you, it's hard not to grab it with both hands. But if you've got, you know, management and people around you, and we've got some examples of what it can do to you, you know, and how it affects your family and, you know, your life away from the game, and they might say, well, maybe you should have stayed for Brisbane at 700,000 and had better support, and you might have, you know, been enjoying your football a lot more and had sort of a little bit of a happy time. It's still good money. Is there a lesson in all this to make sure that moving forward, these guys that haven't got the experience, like you said, with Origins and with grand finals, and don't really know if they can carry that responsibility and the weight of expectation?
I think there definitely is, but the agent's got to present his best offer to the player, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To the player and his parent, or the player and his partner. And if Club X is prepared to give you $1 million, Club X is wanting to give you $600,000, well then you need to have a good think about what you're getting yourself in for, because I firmly believe that some of these players that have find themselves in these situations where their form's really, really being hurt by the expectation, if you actually ask some of these players, would they rather play for a bit less and be enjoying their footy and playing at their best? I reckon most of them would say yes. Don't get wrong, there'd be a couple out there that would probably say, oh, rat's ass.
Show me, yeah,
give me all the money. But they don't want to win grand finals and don't want to be the best player they can. And in every walk of life, you're going to have them. But I would have thought, you know, in particular, look at Ben Hunt. He's a player to me that looks like he wants to do the absolute best he can. And if he had his time again to play for a bit less and play with some of the compliment him, maybe he would.
Brandon, just quickly, it might be an obvious question. At Newcastle, who was your best signing?
Oh, look, I was only saying the other week, Sterling, obviously we... Yeah, you know, Kalyn Ponga was obviously, to get Kalyn to come to our club at the situation was obviously a great achievement by a lot of, there was a lot of people involved in Kalyn signing, you know, a lot of, say, Denny Badira, some of the old boys, and Darren Mooney, myself, Matty Gilly, a lot of people put a lot of time into that. But the real important signing, first of all, was Aiden Guerra, because Aiden Guerra was the first player of
Origin
who was still playing at a really good club at the Roosters and Origin. And when Aiden come and then Mitchell Pearce come up, Aiden Guerra has a bigger part in getting Mitchell Pearce. Like, I could show Mitchell Kalyn at Ponga's stuff, what Kalyn was doing, and Mitchell can, and I could say to him, so this bloke will be possibly the best fullback you've played.
You mightn't get Kalyn unless you've got those other blokes.
But if you don't get Aiden Guerra, and then Mitchell Pearce, then Mitchell Pearce helps you get David Clemmer, and then now Mitchell Pearce and David Clemmer, they help you get Tyson Fizell, because they all get into rep footy and play together and talk.
Guerra was big.
So he was a huge signing, yeah.
I like Coach's Corner. Nathan Brown, thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
He might have a future at Ireland.
He might indeed. This is the Saturday Scrum. Doing it for King G. Stick around.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company as we head towards kickoff. Just over half an hour now for the Rabbitohs and the Titans. Some of those Rabbitohs out in the middle of the ground, kicking the footy around, getting themselves ready. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbrokes Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us right now. G'day, mate.
Hello, Tony.
Okay, the Titans, what are the thoughts? They did the job, surprisingly, against the Tigers last week. What do the punters make of that?
Yeah, punters aren't expecting them to do it again this weekend, Tony. They're pretty much friendless out to $4.75. It's one-way traffic for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They're into $1.18 and very, very popular with Ladbrokes punters.
Now, what about the Newcastle Knights? Great win for the against the Raiders last week. They're up against the Storm. Is there support for another upset?
Yeah, there is good money for the Newcastle Knights. The Storm are still the favourites at $1.62, but the late money has come for the Knights. They're at $2.30. Since the competition restarted, they've been our best back-sided premiership betting as well.
Now, the final game of the night, big call from Michael Maguire, making six changes, and, of course, the big one, Benji Marshall, their spiritual leader and co-captain. He's been dropped. So can the Tigers get the job done?
Yeah, I think punters think that Madge has made a few mistakes here. They've been pretty unwanted, the Tigers. They're out to $3. And Canberra Raiders, one of the best back sides of the weekend. They're into $1.36.
Tom Hackett, thank you so much. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbrokes Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. G. Gertz was a bit down that he missed out on Coach's Corner. He had to come over and ask a question.
So he whinges and he wants a break. Right, and then when he gets a break, he wants to come in and take over.
He was disappointed.
What does he want?
Didn't hear his voice.
I think the worst part about that was when he came over, he apologised because he hadn't been listening. Why wasn't he listening?
Why was he just butting in if he hadn't been listening? Nathan Brown is going to stick around just for a few more minutes because Brent Reed joins us for Reedy's Mail. That's next. Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to be with you. Usually this man is just on the phone. Now he's actually in the studio with us because it's time for this.
Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, how good to see you in the flesh.
I know I'm going about the fifth hole about
exactly right.
My son's very disappointed.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. Well, Ben Dobbin was out playing golf today while he spoke to us, so he made up for it.
There you go.
Now, there's a couple of things I'm very interested in. I read this today that Luke Thompson is on his way out. I think he already left today from the UK. He's got to spend a couple of weeks in a Melbourne hotel and a gym.
Yeah, he leaves tonight, Tony. He leaves tonight from England. He'll get here tomorrow night. We'll go straight into quarantine in Melbourne. They've, at the Crown Plaza down there, they've set a hotel room up with a basic gym for him to work out in to keep fit. He'll do Zoom conferences. They've organised a nutritionist to look after him. So, you know, he'll be on his way tonight, and obviously there's high hopes around him, but it's left a bit of a bitter taste back in England. St. Helens aren't overly happy with Canterbury or Luke. Now, they sort of, things are okay with Luke, but in regards to Canterbury, I think they think that Canterbury have basically induced Luke to break his deal so he can come early. They put a statement out overnight, St. Helens, and you could sort of read in between the lines with that statement. You could see that they weren't happy about how this has all unfolded because everyone at the club took a 10% pay cut. Luke didn't, and that allowed him to get out of his contract. So it's left a bit of taste behind, but obviously Bulldogs fans will look really looking forward to seeing what sort of impact he can make because everyone tells you he's going to be a star out here.
Do we know the situation with the Super League at the moment?
Not sure they've got a date for a restart.
I think they're talking August.
Start of August and for a period of time playing Friday, Wednesday, Sunday for a number of weeks to catch up games. So,
Brownie, Justin Holbrook once described me as the best prop in the world, Luke Thompson. What are your thoughts on
him? Oh, look, Luke's an outstanding player and I think he was 17 when he made a debut when I was coaching St. Helens, then played in the grand final at 18. To sum up what type of player he is, we had in his second year, the year we won the comp, we played Wigan about 4 or 5 weeks before the finals. And when St. Helens and Wigan play, the intensity is high. It's a good quality game of footy and one that people out here would enjoy watching. And you know, game had been going for ages. And Luke Thompson was getting back on occasions, taking play too. I hadn't seen that since a Brad Clyde type play, you know. So I just, you knew he's the business, but he's, what is the best front row in the world? Luke Thompson's not destructive.
He's only 99 kilograms.
He's not, it'd probably be a touch heavier than that, but he's not like Nelson Asafa Solomona. He's not like Jesse Bromwich. You know, he's not a big man, what he is he's a machine. Canterbury won't need to worry about getting him to do fitness while he's away. He is a machine, yeah.
But most importantly, he's the business. That's when you're described in English terms that he's the business, right, he's the gaffer. Don't worry
exactly
about that.
You're right.
They've paid a little bit of transfer fee for him. It's probably worth it because, you know, he'll add something to their forward pack.
He would add to any forward pack, Reedy, but people need to understand they haven't signed Sam Burgess. That's what the Canterbury fans said. He's not a huge man like Sam who's going to change your football team. He would make any team in this competition and help them become a better football team. His work rate and ability to absorb punishment and keep turning up is as good as you'll see anywhere.
So do they still have two spots left on their roster, even with him? Or just one more?
Well, because obviously Ockhambor and Corey. I can't remember how the system works now, but they basically merged, I think, the development squads into top squad and into one combined entity now. So I'm not sure how many spots they've got left, but I would have thought they would have had at least two because most clubs only had 29 NRL players. Mm. When the competition shut down, they lost two guys. That would take them down to 27. So they've still got some room.
All right, Reedy, Isaac, Luke doing some more house hunting?
Yeah, he is. Well, actually, he owns property in Brisbane, funnily enough, Isaac Luke. He's got some property and family up there. So that's one of the reasons he actually wanted to go back to the Broncos. This has been simmering behind the scenes for a while now. Obviously, when Andrew McCulloch left, then Jake Turpin got injured at Brisbane. They needed some depth at hooker. Corey Paye's been playing, doing a pretty good job. But the game on Thursday night, I think, Jermaine Asako finished the game at hooker for the Broncos when Pay came off and had a rest. So they were desperate to get a bit of experience. They've got Isaac Luke. St. George has let him go. And now they've still got some decisions to make because they get Tevita Pangai back this week. They get Alex Glenn back this week. We saw Corey Oates played in the back row the other night. Both those wingers, Farnsworth and Xavier Coates, were outstanding the other night. So there's a bit of mail. Maybe Corey Oates will come when everyone's back. Corey Oates will go back to the bench and play a utility role. I'd be interested to know what you guys think, whether those young wingers should hold their spots now.
Oh, they're tunnel players, aren't they? Herbie Farnworth and Xavier. They both look outstanding long-term prospects. And again, the challenge for Brisbane's going to be who do you keep and who do you let go, I suppose, because they're going to have people come for them at higher prices and how long they're on contract for and all that's going to be a big part of their future.
It's really interesting, Corey Oates' contract, because he's got a four-year deal there, but he's actually got an option every year where he can go out in the market and explore his options on the open market, Corey Oates. So, you know, if he's squeezed out of the lineup somehow by those young blokes, he has the option to go and explore and see if he can find options elsewhere. He's got a really intriguing...
That's a bit unusual. Not many have that.
No. I think he's got an option every year of the 4 years of the deal, so he can go whenever he wants, basically.
Well, if he's squeezed out, it's actually through his own... Like, he's wanted to play in the back row for a number of years now.
Yeah.
So he's opened up the opportunity for these young men.
He was pretty good the other night, I thought he handled it okay.
Hey, with Isaac Luke, was it more just the fact that Brisbane were desperate for another hooker because Turpin was injured? There were some reports that he was unhappy with the amount of game time he was getting at the Dragons, but what did he expect with Cam McInnes there? Was it one more than the other?
Well, I think it was a bit of both. I mean, he obviously wasn't getting a chance down there, was he?
But was he really unhappy, or was it just that Brisbane came knocking?
I wouldn't say he was desperately unhappy, but I think he wanted an opportunity, and he'll get one in Brisbane because... you know, we saw what they did with Seguiaro a year ago when they had James Seguiaro there, and James Seguiaro would come off the bench when Andrew McCulloch would start, and I think that's what they'll do with Isaac Luke. When Jake Turpin gets back, Jake Turpin's their starting hooker, and Isaac Luke would just come on and play, 20, 30 minutes.
What he was doing at the Dragons anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Reedy, we'll shovel you down to the sideline for this afternoon for the call. Thanks so much for that beautiful mail. And Nathan Brown, once again, thank you. Brilliant performance this afternoon. As ever, we'll catch up soon. Ryan Girdler will rejoin us. He's just champing at the bit over there, desperate to get a microphone next to his mouth. Sterlo stays with us, as does Emma. We'll catch up again very soon right here on the Saturday Scrum. Yeah. King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company as we count down towards kickoff. The Rabbitohs and the Titans right here at Bankwest Stadium. Peter Serling stays with us. Emma Lawrence is here. And Ryan Girdler has rejoined us.
Hey, Tony. Nice to be back.
How was that?
I did enjoy it, to be honest, back there.
You didn't?
It's good. I like that little, what's it called, Coach's Corner?
Yeah, good segment.
It's good,
huh?
Yeah. No.
You would like, well, you were involved because you
I was involved. I jumped in. Em said she was looking like she wasn't involved in the conversation and just.
Yeah. She was thinking about reading the news on Channel 10 tonight.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Em?
That's right.
That's what I'm doing. So I assume you'll be watching. Or you'll be on your way home, you can watch it on 10 play.
Is that legal?
I'm not sure. While you're
I might pull over and watch it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of pulling over, can I just quickly say, and I wasn't going to say this, but I felt very sorry for Josh Reynolds, given the reporting of what happened to him, where being pulled over at 1:30 a.m. and having a false positive for illicit drugs.
Yeah.
Given that I saw it first and I thought, wow, it's 1:30, that doesn't sound good.
Mm.
Nothing good, as they say, happens after midnight. Didn't know that he'd been, of course, had flown back with the team from the Gold Coast, didn't arrive till 12:30. Then suddenly, the math didn't add up.
Oh, exactly.
Would have been nice to have all the information out there, wouldn't it?
If I'd known all of that, I wouldn't have jumped to any conclusion.
Was factually correct, but there was some information was
withholding information.
Yes.
Would you call it?
Well, no, I don't think it was withholding information, but I just don't know that we need that. Does it have to be reported? That's a question for all of us, you know, in terms of journalism.
I think it was fine to say he was pulled over and there was a positive test, but the buried further down was, there was also a negative test later on. And I think what was crucial was the fact that he'd just come back from Brisbane with the team, because that would indicate he hadn't been out on a bender. He's just coming home after getting off a plane at Bankstown Airport.
Exactly right.
From work.
Yeah. Yes.
Correct. All right, here we are, as I said, at Bankwest Stadium, both sides out in front of us going through their warm-ups. The Rabbitohs. The Titans obviously coming off that win last week against the Tigers. The Rabbitohs, there's a bit of pressure up now. I think James Roberts is not playing, is the latest.
Burns is back in.
Okay. What do you think? What are you thinking about Sterlo at the moment, the Rabbitohs and their season?
I thought they were good last week.
Yeah.
I think against a lot of other sides, they win last week and thought they're really good signs. I think they'll learn from that. You know, the game was in the balance, and it was in the balance until fairly late in that contest. I think it finished 22-8 or something. I don't think that was an indication of just how close they were to winning that game. So I liked what I saw last week. The Gold Coast was a good win. They were double digits behind on a couple of occasions and got out of trouble. But I think you're up against a side that, I think come off a pretty strong performance, and it's going to be a tough test for them to go back-to-back, the Titans.
And what about how much of a difference is Cody Walker going to make here?
Absolutely. They'd have loved to have had him there last week as well, Em. Yeah.
Two crucial games to miss with Cody Walker gone, the Roosters and Melbourne. You know, potentially they could have won those first two games, maybe.
That might be the battle there for the Rabbits today, because, they've had those two games, obviously games that you get up for, two of the best teams in the competitions, without some key players, and they get one of those key players back this afternoon. So the Rabbitohs need to make sure they don't go out here against the Gold Coast side that have obviously been struggling over the last couple of seasons and just think it's all going to fall into place. Their effort needs to be up. They can't think Cody's back, we're going to be okay, and we're only playing the Gold Coast. And especially guys like Latrell Mitchell, who I thought had a big step forward last week performance-wise, and he needs to build on a performance like that and come out here and think about how would a James Tedesco or a Tom Trbojevic play against the Gold Coast Titans? Would he take their foot off, or would they put the foot on the throat and go out there and absolutely, be involved in lots of different tries? And it's a real opportunity today for Latrell to come out here against potentially some weaker opposition and create havoc. And he should be looking at it that way and not the other way.
He brought an intent and a desire to be involved last game, didn't he, Latrell?
The energy was great. He got, even when he made an error down there on the Melbourne try line at dummy half, he was screaming at the player, play it, play it. Like he was engaged in the game. He was excited about the game. And one of his runs down the right-hand side of the field, he bumped through about four or five defenders off them and got the offload away, and that created a good attacking opportunity down that right-hand side. I thought it was a big step forward for him. And this is the kind of game, as Gerds points out, that you'd need to see the same incitement and engagement, because it is different opposition.
I think for Latrell too, he's managed to, he was in the headlines for such a long period of time coming over here, then you had that social distancing stuff. But he's managed to just, I think, the last couple of weeks fly under the radar. Latrell Mitchell hasn't really been in the headlines at all, and I think for him that really helps. He hasn't, because of the new rules with the amount of players they put up every week, he hasn't had to be put up for media. So he has been able to purely just focus on his footy, and I think that's been really good for Latrell.
I think the coach will have managed that also.
Adam Reynolds.
There were multiple requests, and I think they said no to every single one of them.
Adam Reynolds, the second game without Cody Walker, I think he was much improved, much more the man in control.
Well, Cody's the kind of guy that that just makes everyone around him feel comfortable and better within their role, and that's another opportunity for Latrell today to actually start building those combinations with Cody. And, yeah, obviously, you know, Adam Reynolds is a kind of guy that just likes to, you know, manage the team, and when there's opportunities arise, usually he's happy to take a back seat and let Cody and Cookie and jump out and seize those opportunities. But, you know what you're going to get from Adam Reynolds. He's an experienced guy. He's a great leader for this organisation, and he needs to be on today.
I think he needs to rectify his game. You know, I'm used to seeing Adam Reynolds in the past playing deep in behind forwards, and I don't think you can do that with the way the rule changes, especially. You know, he's got to be getting the football a lot flatter in better situations, and so he's one halfback who I think does have to change. Like, some have been perfectly suited by it. I don't think they've suited Adam that much, but he needs to modify it to bring himself into the game and get on that front foot more, because there's more opportunity for the 6 and 7 to do exactly that.
Sterlo, 30 seconds. We have Ash Taylor. Nathan Brown talked about the pressure that can come with what he's got. What's he going to do today?
Yeah, same as he did last week. The move wider out seemed to work quite well. I thought young Tonomapea, was a really strong addition to their cause as well. But, Ash Taylor, just reproduce what he did last week and be positive.
Well, all will be revealed. Anthony Maroon will join you very shortly. Thank you so much to King G. Thank you all here as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.